Tonight on the Black Channel, what's wrong with being a snitch? You might think you know, but you really don't. Now it's time to give you the business. The Black Channel is live. Unapologetic, unadulterated, and absolutely uncompromising. Greetings, brothers and sisters from around the world, and welcome back to the home, the haven, the stronghold, and the everlasting superfortress of intelligent black thought, the only historically black college and university of higher education and learning in the cosmos. This is the BlackChannel.net radio program, and I am, of course, your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. Glad to have you all with us here this evening, because I'm going to discuss a subject here in a way that you've never heard it discussed before. And it's about time that it was given to you from the perspective of intelligent black society, so you're welcome to join us. And join us you shall, and we're just going to go ahead and get right into it right here, right now. Now, you know, this is a character that I really haven't had anything much to say about. They come from a place that I really don't have very much to do about. But it was, in my mind, it was essential that I go ahead and address this. Because what's happening right now is a situation where you've got a bunch of people who are speaking on the subject, and they're not really speaking on it in an adult way, certainly not speaking on it in an intelligent way. It's about time that we had that. Now, this guy on your screen is Daniel Hernandez, better known as Tekashi 6ix9ine, a mentally and emotionally screwed up cornball. But because black society is so desperate, so many factions of black society are so desperate for acceptance, they have allowed a sycophantic, brain-screwed interloper like Daniel Hernandez to christen himself a rapper. Now, 20 years ago, he would have gotten his ass kicked and would have been thrown literally off the stage. But in today's society, the lack of fathers, the lack of manhood is so pervasive now that a cockroach like this can call himself a rapper and still retain all of his teeth. This guy is an insult. And back in the day, when rap was controlled by black men and by the streets, his kind never would have been allowed in the door. What you have is this bastardized corporate thing that calls itself rap, but actually isn't. Now, I want to get into a few facts here before we go any further. Because it is the weakness and the lack of a man code and manhood leading these street organizations that you can call gangs that allowed this jackass to come in and now has opened up the door to everything. Now, for those of you who are not aware, this ignoramus, this court jester, was originally charged, if you'll all remember, he was originally charged, he was charged long before now, in 2015, he was charged with distributing a video that showed a 13-year-old girl. She was 13 years old. It was sexually explicit. He posted it online. So that's when he got started. And because it is easier to get in trouble than it is to get your act together, this guy decided to take the short route and give himself street credibility, I suppose, was what he had in mind. So it becomes a situation where he got a bunch of black dudes, supposedly bloods or whatever the case may be, because it depends on who you ask, Anyway, they call themselves Treyway, Non-Trey, or whatever. And that's where it went from there. This was all supposed to be just a big attempt on his part to get credibility. Street credibility that he did not have because he is not from the street. And this is what I want to get to first. Now, let me be very clear with you here. I do not consider myself to be a street dude, but every black male should be street wise. We should be bilingual. We should be able to speak academic and street. Because of the society that we live in, we need to be able to speak both. We need to be bilingual. You shouldn't be divorced from either one. Street dudes shouldn't be divorced from intelligentsia, and the intelligent should not be divorced from the street. Because of the society that you live in, the street for us represents the protective militarized wing, the defense apparatus of the society. That's the street. In black society, that is the street. Everybody else has a defense apparatus. Our defense apparatus has always been the street. When you take a look at when they bombed the Black Wall Streets and the places where you did have uprisings, though, that was the streets. It wasn't your academics and your professors taken to the streets. It was the thugs, it was the hustlers, it was the gangsters, it was, as Dr. John Henry Clark so eloquently put it, the pool hall cats. It was the brothers at the pool hall. It was the dudes who had some shady dealings. It was guys who had run-ins with law enforcement. They were the front line of defense. Take a look at the Black Panthers. Oh, let me go there. Should I go there? Oh, I'm about to go there with roller skates. This has been the image that I have used for over a decade here now, showing Eldridge Cleaver, a man who spent time in prison. And yet, that's the image I've used for a decade, over a decade. It's commanding. It has presence. But by the same token, it shouldn't be surprising that he joined the Panthers. It's the street dudes who don't back down from the police. Your academics try to figure out a way if they are divorced from the streets. They turn out like Michael Eric Dyson, selling their souls. It's the street dudes who have no fear of the police. Correct. The Black Pea Stones, the Black Guerrilla Family, the Gangster Disciples. This is the defense apparatus. Let's just tell it like it is. You're trying to rewrite our past. Oh, hell no. This is the defense apparatus. The people who ain't scared to go to jail. The people who ain't scared to stand up. That's your defense apparatus. The gangs, as they call the street gangs in black society, are unlike the street gangs, for the most part, in other societies. They were created as a defense mechanism. Not going after money and trying to get over. They were created out of necessity. That's where our gangs come from. Ours were created out of necessity. So when I see the standing army of black society, when I see the defense apparatus, and I chose this picture because this picture is illustrative of everything that went wrong here. How the hell is it your gang and this goof off is front and center? How is it your culture and this is the person who is the face of it? Has put himself as the de facto leader within, what, a year and a half, 2 years? Understand that. Where's your defense apparatus? Your defense apparatus has been hijacked and overtaken because you have forgotten that it's yours. That's the thing you need to understand. So you have a situation here where the damn snitch, the guy who is going to undermine all of you, is standing right in front of you. In the days of the gangster disciples, he never would have been allowed in the room. But you see, the streetwise dudes are gone now. They've either jailed him, killed him, or sent him into hiding. And now you're left with the disorganized bastard babies of the single mother culture. Whereas in white society, the men still lead. The single mothers have taught their boys to be effeminized. The boys don't think strategically, therefore they don't grow into men who think strategically. So the damn traitor and the damn snitch doesn't even have to sneak in anymore. He can just walk in through the front door. Now, I remember there was a video, I want to say DJ Vlad did a video with, what was his name, Trey D, and was asking who put on Tekashi 6ix9ine, and Trey was like, I don't know who put this cat on. I don't know who said he was a part of the gang set. I don't know who inducted him. What was the process? Because he knows what the process is supposed to be, and this jackass didn't go through that. So who were the dudes who let this infiltrator in? Who did this? What was the protocol and the criterion that was used to induct him? Because you see, when you say you can call yourself a gang, you can call yourself a unit, you can call yourself whatever, you are going to stand and fall based on your weakest link. That's why you have to scrutinize people. You can't let in groupies. And certainly groupies should never become your leader. But you got a situation where dudes like Chris Brown and Tekashi 6ix9ine, we got folks claiming the set and nobody knows how the hell they got in. Who brought you in? Who spoke for you? Why in the world would you be here? Who brought you in and who spoke for you? And nobody knows. Nobody knows how he got in. That's the issue I have a problem with. Nobody knows. And what I'm afraid of is that you let him in on some groupie stuff. That's the thing I'm concerned about. You might have let him in on some groupie stuff. Who in the world was thinking about this? Because when you had men running the set, this guy couldn't have gotten in. He couldn't have gotten in. That's my point. They brought him in because they were the damn groupies. They let this guy in because they were groupies of some Fruit Loop colored haired jackass. I don't even think he paid his way in. No, I don't even believe he paid. I don't believe he paid anything. No. I don't believe that he actually paid anybody anything. I think they just let him in because they were all thinking that he was clicked up with the record companies and that would be the short path to them getting a record deal. That's what we have now. We have a bunch of dudes who claim to be gang members sitting up here trying to get a record deal. Not trying to enact change, not trying to have power, just trying to get a record deal. This is who's leading your gangs now. And then you're wondering why you're all looking at life sentences. You wondered how you ended up looking at life sentences now. You ended up looking at life sentences because you didn't take this seriously. Dealing with a bunch of people who do. Since ancient times, people have understood that snitches will undermine an entire society. Do you get that? Snitches aren't just annoying, they will undermine an entire society. A whole society will be undermined by somebody who is sitting here divulging the secrets and telling everybody where your strength is. This isn't a minor thing, is what I'm trying to tell you. It's not minor. I don't joke about this or laugh about this. When you all hear folks say things like stop snitching, what do you define as snitching, and do you have a definition for it? When you think about it and consider it, snitching, what you're referring to there is that it means that you are going to the dominant society. You're going outside of your group. You're going outside of your group for something. As Black folk, we have been conditioned to believe that fixing our issues comes from outside of the society. Thus, we have come to the conclusion that we're not accountable to other Black people for our actions. That's the impression and the conclusion they want you to draw, that you are not accountable for your actions. Yes, we know that YouTube is messing with the stream. We get that. We're going to play past that. Do not post that in the chat room. We understand that. It'll all be together when it gets done. So don't worry about that. So I know you want to let's not start jockeying for simple attention. Let's not do that. That's not what the chat's for. Just never mind it. If it cuts up on you, just refresh your page. It'll all be in one piece when it gets uploaded. So stop. We've been conditioned to believe that the only people who have authority is white society. You see, in Italian society, for example, they have a no snitching policy also. Do you understand that? In Asian society, they have a no snitching policy. You are shunned if you go to outsiders. If there is a problem, if there is business to be taken care of, that is taken care of within the group. That is taken care of by the group and within the group. But we've been taught to believe that Black people cannot police themselves. And so we've been conditioned to think that the only people who are allowed to have authority over us are European colonizers and non-Black people. When the Panthers would come into an area, they would take care of policing it. If dudes were out here, you know, doing the wrong thing, or if females were, Black folk controlled that. Black folk police that and regulated that. In other societies and other cultures, they are accustomed to that. And you are off code and will be a pariah if you attempt to go around that. Why? Because when you bring in outsiders, you have sacrificed your freedom and your ability. You can't, whoever you go to solve your problems, that is the person who runs your society and runs your people. Do you understand that? Whoever you run to fix your problems, that is the leader of your society. That is the person in charge. With the Italians, they made it very clear there is no higher authority than ourselves. If there's a problem, we are the only ones authorized to take care of it. we're not in black society, we have been openly encouraged to bring other people into our business. They don't teach other people to do that. They don't teach that. They teach other people that they have authority in their communities. They have authority in their areas. They don't teach us that. As a matter of fact, expect the responsibilities of authority because you've been told that you don't have any authority or that you don't deserve any. You see, when you have a policy against snitches, then that automatically puts the responsibility for dealing with any and all problems on your shoulders. Do you understand that? When you have a policy against snitching, then it puts responsibility on your shoulders. You don't have the option of saying, I'm going to go to somebody else. It becomes your responsibility. When people come into your neighborhood and beat up your children, responsibility rests on your shoulders. That responsibility rests on your shoulders. But what if you're not ready for it? What if you're not ready for the responsibilities of leadership? Now what? You see, if you're not ready for the responsibility of leadership, then you are susceptible to any jackass with candy-colored hair walking in front of you like an orangutan and saying, hey, I'm your new leader. And that is what happened here. That's what happened here. The issue isn't that Daniel Hernandez, i.e. Tekashi 6ix9ine, the issue isn't that he was a snitch. The issue is, how in the hell did you not know he was? How in the hell did you all not predict that this was going to be the outcome? How in the world did you not see that? How in the world did you have this guy who is literally painted up like a rodeo clown, and you grown-ass men who are supposedly from the streets, you all are supposedly from the streets. I'm not wondering, how did Tekashi 6ix9ine get into the set? I'm wondering, how did these niggas behind him get in? How did they get in? That's the question you need to ask yourselves, because nobody's asking that. Everybody's looking at Tekashi 6ix9ine. Who were the gatekeepers who let this snitch in? Who were the elders and the mentors who said that these dudes were in charge and then put them in charge of approving other people? While we're looking at Tekashi 6ix9ine, who was in charge of the vetting process for the dudes behind him? Because dudes who've been to prison know that you don't let snitches nowhere nearby. Dudes who've been to prison, dudes who have taken penitentiary chances, understand that a snitch is a death sentence. They're giving folks 30, 40, 50, 100 years. Dudes who know the risks and how serious it is understand that snitches are a fatal risk. You can't let them anywhere around anything. Who was in charge of this? Who allowed this? While we're talking about him, Because it's a bunch of black folk who are going to end up going to jail or now are up under scrutiny. Because you do understand, this is a lot more serious when you've got somebody like a Tekashi 6ix9ine who was indicted basically under RICO charges, a criminal enterprise, and then he starts naming people. They're asking him, what do you know and who do you know? And then he started naming names of people who had not a damn thing to do with his case. He's naming Jim Jones and Cardi B. He's naming people who don't have anything to do with his case. Do you understand that? He's bringing up names of people who have nothing to do with his case. So now you're putting other people under the microscope. You got other people in the spotlight who all they got to do now is say, well, there's a convicted criminal or whatever who said that we need to keep an eye on you. Do you realize he's justified all of that? All of that. We need to keep an eye on you now. All of a sudden. So you got people who are trying to get endorsement deals and every damn thing else. But somebody who's part of a continuing criminal enterprise is saying, by the way, this is one of my contemporaries. Now, you all do understand. You are only one conviction away from that becoming a permanent problem for you. If you are officially a gang member and you get arrested for something, let's just say like a gun charge. Let's just say you get arrested on a gun charge. Do you realize that now the prosecutors can go and argue that you are a part of a gang or a continuing criminal enterprise? And now we can control your associations. We can control everything. Please be aware of that. California has the most draconian gang injunction laws and statutes, but they're not the only place that has that. Every state has similar powers. Every state has similar abilities. So all they got to do is bag you once. All they got to do is get you once. And from there, we can do to you whatever we like. All we got to do is once we got somebody who's been convicted, who's fingered you before and says you're a part of what they do. And that justifies literally everything they want to do to you from here on in. Everything they want to do from here on in. This, all it takes is that. Brothers and sisters, do you realize how many black folk throughout history have been killed because they had snitches around them? Either that they didn't know or that they disregarded. The Black Panthers was infested with snitches. The Asian guy was named Aoki or whatever. They were infested with snitches. And take a look at what happened. Fred Hampton. Take a look at what happened. In Ferguson. Yeah, I said it. In Ferguson. All those LGBT folks claiming to be Black Lives Matter. Snitches all throughout that thing. Informants all throughout that thing. Understand something. Where informants go, death and destruction follows for Black people. Where informants go, death and destruction follows for Black people. Death and destruction follows. Now, let me make this a little more clear for you because there might be some hardheads here who don't understand. Will anyone tell me what part of white society that Black people are encouraged to be informants and snitches in, and they give us the power through our informing and snitching to punish other people or help get other people penalized? Tell me when you've seen a Black witness who was able to help indict gangs of white people. Show me where they give a black snitch or a black informant that type of power. Tell me when it's time to go snitch on white people, how many receptive ears at the prosecutor's office and on the judge's bench are there? I'm asking for some people who want to know. Because you see, if you think that it's equal, if you think the system treats all snitching equally, tell me when the last time was that a black person was able to get a white person indicted for snitching. Jailhouse snitching. Anything. Ed Buck was out there killing with impunity. Jeffrey Dahmer was making snacks out of his neighbors for years. Picking up random, mostly black people, by the way. Had a bunch of times he was supposed to be caught. Remember, one person even got away and they returned him back to Jeffrey. So you see, as black people, we can't sit up here and call the police and all of a sudden we can snitch some white folk into some trouble. We don't get to snitch white people into trouble. Snitching only applies to other black people. Snitching only applies to other black people. Snitching isn't a skill set that you can transport outside of black society. You can only be a successful snitch or a tolerated snitch as long as you're doing it to black folk. You can't go outside of black society and then ply your trade as a snitch. So if snitching is okay and that's all cool, then tell me why is it we can't do it anywhere except in black society, if that's the case. And other people are not encouraged to do so. Tell me where they're encouraging white folk to turn in other white people as white supremacists. Tell me where the white society does that. Tell me where white society encourages other white people to snitch on each other for being racist, for being white supremacists, for being alt-right. Tell me where the incentive is in white society to snitch on each other for our benefit, if you believe that it's universal. Tell me where you've seen that. Tell me where that's been encouraged. Tell me where that's part of their culture, where they say, hey, Y'all need to speak up, because we've been telling them to do that now for centuries. Tell me where it's happening. They don't encourage themselves to snitch on each other for our benefit. Will someone please explain to me why the hell we would tolerate that? Much less tolerating it from a non-black person sitting right in front of you. Now, some of you are scared of some of the talk that I'm saying right now. Some of you are scared. And the reason that you're afraid is because you're scared of leadership. You are afraid of the responsibilities of leadership. You're afraid of that. You're okay with white folk telling you how to live and non-black people dictating how you live. But taking responsibility for yourself, that's different. Let me tell you what no snitching means. First of all, even in the areas where you all are afraid of that, it's not like it's a bunch of innocent bystanders it's happening to. It's people who are involved in street stuff, involved in gang stuff. That's what's happening. Tragic as it may be, that's really the overwhelming majority, practically all of what you are seeing in that regard. But I want to go a little bit further for you here. Even if that's not the case, a no snitching policy still works best. Well, Jason, why did you say that? Because the ultimate authority for accountability should be within the community, not outside of it. The reason why you cannot put the ultimate responsibility for punishment outside of your community is because what if that ultimate authority decides that there will be no punishment? You go to the dominant society and put it in their hands and say, okay, we're going to tell you what happened and we're going to leave it up to you to take care of it. Nipsey Hussle's killer was a snitch and is still alive. After putting responsibility in the hands of the dominant society, his killer is still alive. George Zimmerman, after putting responsibility for punishing that killer in the hands of the dominant society, he's still alive. This is what happens when you go to other people. You think you're giving them responsibility for executing the punishment. In reality, you're giving them responsibility to execute it or to choose not to. That's what happens when you put it in other people's hands. Now, let me give you an alternative scenario. The deterrent to you doing something you should not do isn't the dominant society. The deterrent is me. If you do something you should not do, you will be lucky if the police catch you, because if we, the people you did it to, catch you, it's a wrap first. You'll be lucky if they get you. And that is the other part of the Nipsey Hussle situation. His killer went to the police because there was no way he could stay on the streets. He had to go to the police because the community was going to handle that. They've got him in protective custody at the jail because the community wants to handle that. The community wants to handle that. That is what you call a deterrent. When the community says that we are the punishment mechanism, that's a deterrent. Now, if you're looking for somebody else to handle your business, then yeah, you need snitches. Henry Hill stayed alive as long as he did because the mafia was no longer the mafia of old. That's why. In the days of Maranzano and Masseria and Lucky Luciano and Johnny Torrio and Al Capone, Henry Hill wouldn't have been alive for any amount of hell. He wouldn't have been alive for any amount of time. With the cats in the 60s and the days, even in the waning days of Gambino and Neil Delacroix and Vincent the Chin Gigante, and he couldn't have made it. But the problem became that the guys at the top, in a lot of cases, you had bosses. The code was that you do not snitch, but then the bosses, after RICO, started snitching on everybody. When they started handing out these, well, even before RICO, they started handing out these huge sentences. And then you had the bosses snitching on everyone else, so it became every man for himself. That's how a Henry Hill was able to make it as long as he did. And he's not the only one. He's not the only one. So you have a situation where you had individuals because the code was broken. The code that protected everybody was broken. The reason why La Cosa Nostra, this thing of ours, was able to survive as long as it did was because it was a secret society. You couldn't get enough information to bring down the group because nobody would talk. You couldn't get enough information to take down the whole organization because nobody would talk. That's the problem. So back in the day, nobody would snitch. Nobody would talk. If they sent the boss to jail for 50 years, he would just go to jail for 50 years. But he wasn't gonna talk. He was going to protect the organization. He was going to protect the life. even at the expense of his own. But do you know why they did that? He was willing to give up his freedom because that was the only thing that protected his own. This code of omerta, this code of silence, that's the only thing that maintaining the code. If everybody maintains the code, then everyone will be protected. And if they catch one person, your silence is what protects everyone else. You being silent, everyone having a code of silence, is what protects everyone else. That was what where the mafia's strength. As black people, we haven't had to live under those rules. As black people, we haven't had to live under the rule that you will be accountable to other black people for your actions. We're not accustomed to that idea. We're not accustomed to the idea that if you do something off code, if you do something wrong, if you do something out of line, you will have to answer to the group. We're not accustomed to that. You see, as men, a male's biological prerogative is to be the enforcement and protection mechanism for his society and for his people. That's what you're supposed to be. As a man, biologically, you're hardwired for that. But when you have too many boys raised by females who don't have any wisdom to impart, females who are unprepared to raise a male to be a man, then they teach the boys to be the hoes that they always were. You see, if your mama wasn't wise, she can't raise a wise son. Understand, if your mother is an unwise woman, then she cannot raise a wise son. Your mother cannot turn you into a wise man if she was an unwise woman. If she chose the wrong men over and over again, if your mother made a repeated habit of choosing the wrong men over and over, she was a disciplinary problem. She invited people who couldn't do any good. She just wanted folk who made her feel good or feel happy. That's not what men do. Men don't look for folk who make you feel good or make you feel happy. Men are protectors and providers, and if his people are not protected and provided for, then he is not a man. His definition of himself as a person is decimated. They are not street wise, they are street dumb. These are grown men who are not street wise, they are street stupid. And it would be different if they weren't in the streets, but they are in the streets while simultaneously being street dumb. Do you understand that? You have women who were unwise, who are pushing out sons who are unwise. Now, let me be clear about something. There ain't anything wrong with being street. There ain't anything wrong with being a street dude. Some of our greatest leaders came from the streets. Let me be clear about that. Some of our greatest leaders came from the streets. Some of our greatest leaders came from the hood, not academia. while we can talk about the Booker T. Washingtons and the W.E.B. Du Bois, the fact of the matter is a lot of our great black folk came from the streets. Harriet Tubman was a street chick. Oh, you didn't want me to say that. Harriet Tubman was a street chick. When you sit up here and say she was a rider, or if you sit up here and say she was down, or if you say she was about that life, those are just euphemisms and another way of saying she was a street chick. Harriet Tubman was a street chick before you had streets. Ida B. Wells was a street chick. Sojourner Truth was a street chick. Earl Little was a street dude. Y'all want to know where Malcolm got his gangster from? Take a look at the father, Earl Little, who was a disciple of Marcus Garvey. That was a street dude. There is a direct line from Marcus Garvey to Malcolm X. So if you want to know where Malcolm's gangster came from, take a look at the father. Malcolm's gangster came naturally. He got it honestly. And we can keep going down the list. Not going to do it all day with you here, but we can keep going down the list. When you take a look at the riots, the Watts riots and whatnot, you can keep going down the list. You can keep going down the list because the street in black society has been the defense mechanism. It's not something that I'm ashamed of. I don't want to see a bunch of criminality directed towards black people. If it's anywhere else, well, that's them. But I'm not scared about the street dudes like that, because that is a necessary. How is it that you guys are supposed to be a bunch of street dudes, and yet you are this street dumb to allow somebody in your midst who doesn't belong there? That's the issue. How is it that you're supposed to be street dudes and you didn't see something so basic? You see, so there were some folks who were upset because they were like, oh, Jason, you're defensible. We are missing a code because there is no enforcement mechanism. Let me be clear about that. There's no code because there's no enforcement mechanism. When things began to endanger the society and endanger the group, there's supposed to be an enforcement membrane, a defense membrane that fights back against that. Where's the defense membrane? Now, to their credit, I will say that there's no way a Tekashi could have got on in Los Angeles, because the way that the gang injunctions work out there, they all saw this bastard is a life sentence walking in the room. So he had to go to Chicago, I believe it was. And you have a situation where, yeah, that's what happens to you here. Places that know, people who had to grow up with that, aren't going to allow it because they understand, hey, this is going to be a problem. But then again, by the same token, they have a code for it. And if you understand another thing, you want to talk about the Italian mafia. You all remember what his name, Sonny Black? Sonny Black was the guy who brought Joe Pistone, federal agent Joe Pistone, i.e. also known as Donnie Brasco. He was the one who brought a federal agent into the mafia, brought him in with those dudes, had him sitting at the table with the gangsters. And do you all, he brought the snitch in. And do you all remember, for those of you who know your history, I mean, I know y'all learn your history through Hollywood, but Sonny Black brought Donnie Brasco, a federal agent, into the mafia. And remember what happened to Donnie Brasco. I mean, to Sonny Black. Remember what happened to Sonny Black for bringing a snitch in. You sat up here, if you do that in their culture and in their group, then take a look at what happens to you. This is what happens when you do it in another group. You can't even bring to a true organization that's got a real code. You can't even bring the snitch in. Not only are we going to deal with the snitch, we're going to deal with whoever brought him. We're going to deal with the snitch and we're going to deal with whoever brought him. Who was in charge of snitch control around here? Because now everybody is looking in trouble. Everybody is looking at trouble now. You got one dude who has the potential to bring the whole organization down. And yes, I know about Frank Lucas and Nikki Barnes and whatnot. Yeah, those are quintessential examples of why you can't have it. Those are quintessential. Frank Lucas and Nikki Barnes are quintessential examples of why we've never had a black mafia. Frank Lucas and Nikki Barnes are the poster children for why we've never had a black mafia. Because the bosses in the Italian mafia for a long while were willing to go to prison, even for life. Our black crime bosses were very quickly, they were unable to pass the culture down. When it was time to pass down the code, your leaders at the top didn't do that. Nikki Barnes got upset because he was talking about, I mean, if you all ever saw the documentary, Mr. Untouchable, Nikki Barnes said that his problem was that the fellows who he had left on the street, they were not executing things the way that he wanted them to. Here's the problem. Nikki was going to be in jail for the rest of his life. So that really was dishonest on his part. Nikki Barnes turned state's evidence to get himself out of prison. That was it. He didn't do it because he was trying to clean up the organization. He did it to cut a deal and get himself out of prison, which is what he did. And in the process, the entire organization was gone. Entire organization was gone. Because the guy at the top did not abide by the code. The Italian mafia has existed for centuries because the guys at the top, for the most part, adhered to the code. This is why we have these pointless, silly discussions in black society about what we should and shouldn't do. These other groups enforced the code, and thus they were able to pass down power, wealth, and influence from one generation to another. Over on our side of the fence, as soon as the police pull up, I mean, y'all have seen the first 48. Come on now, I'm about to hurt a lot of feelings, but let's just say it like it is. You all have seen the first 48. Soon as they grab some little broomstick head looking Negro and take him back in that room, you all should just do an experiment on yourselves. Just do an experiment with yourselves. And say, okay, let me see if I can predict who's going to crack and who isn't. Let me just see if I can do that. Who's going to break and who isn't? When you see him walk in there, you can pretty much predict who's going to break and who isn't. Soon as they take him back there, when you got the little bug-eyed fella, who the one who asked for the cigarette, if you see him ask for a cigarette, you know he gonna break. He can't even resist his urges long enough to make it through. He can't resist his nicotine fits long enough to make it through an interrogation. He can't even hold out his nicotine fits long enough to make it through an hour-long interrogation. Now, if he can't handle his nicotine fits, what the hell makes you think he's going to be able to handle 5 or 10? A prosecutor talking about they're going to throw 5 or 10 years at him, even if the prosecutor is just bluffing. Think about that for a few moments. When you're watching the first 48, there ain't no crime bosses in there. There ain't no kingpins in there. They ain't got the heart. They don't have the constitution. They don't have the principles to be able to do that. They don't even have that. These dudes go up in there. If it's either the fella who is asking for a cigarette, or it's the one who is looking at the cops like they're white daddy. When you see that fella looking at the police like white daddy and it's yes sir, no sir, soon as you see him do that, you know, yeah, he's gonna break on everybody. He's gonna tell them what his mama's wearing. As black people, that's the legacy for us. Other groups understand that guy on the street, he shouldn't be allowed to even come among the group on the street. He can't even come among the group on the street because everybody knows he's willing to leverage putting away the whole group for his own benefit. As soon as you all see that there is a fella amongst you who is willing to sacrifice the rest of the group for his own benefit, you're supposed to get him out of there. See, the problem is that most black folk have snitches all around them all the time, and you all don't recognize it. You're sitting up here saying to yourselves, well, I'm not involved in criminal behavior, therefore I don't need to be streetwise or conscious of what a snitch is. Meanwhile, you all got them at your job. You got them at your church. A bunch of y'all are laying up next to a snitch. Got a bunch of y'all laying up next to a snitch. Oh, can I just say it like it is right now? Can I just say that? I'm not supposed to say that? All right. If you are laying next to someone who has ever called the police on you, you are laying next to a snitch. And one day they are, if you ain't already been in real trouble that you couldn't get out of, they're going to get you in real trouble you can't get out of. You're laying next to a snitch. If you think snitches are harmless, or if you think snitches are noble, you know full damn well, a Negro who don't know a damn thing about anything, when you start talking about snitches as if they're noble. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I hurting feelings? I'm hurting feelings right now? Okay, fine. Rihanna used a snitch. What? All right, I said it. Rihanna used a snitch. There shouldn't be any hood in this country that she should be able to set foot in. She needs to just stay up on that stage and make corny little songs for Disney and Diane Sawyer. Jason, what was she supposed to do? Look here. Let me tell you what you do in a situation like that. See, this is how I know y'all ain't been raised by no real ass women. Y'all don't have any real women in your families. Y'all need to come down here to the South. And let me introduce you to some old black women. I'm not talking about from whorehouse culture. I'm talking about some old black women. If a dude put his hands on great grandmama, that was probably going to be his last night alive. You see, y'all need to go talk to some black folk who had to keep peace in the home back when it wasn't safe to call the police. That's what y'all need to do. Y'all need to talk to some black folk who had to regulate themselves during segregation when it wasn't safe to call white society. That's what you need. See, y'all haven't had any of them. You just had a bunch of sluts and hoes on Section 8 and a bunch of dirty, no good gutter hood rats who've been run through but did not have to actually lead anything or have wisdom. They didn't have to actually deal with a situation. You see, back then, grandmama only got divorced once. She didn't have to get divorced 5 or 6 times, didn't have no bastard kids. You see, if something went wrong, she would handle it herself. And if she couldn't handle it, she'd get on the phone and call her brother, her uncle, or whatever, and something gonna go down. But she wasn't calling the police. Oh, yeah. And one more thing. One more thing. One more thing. After she handled the business, that Negro still came home. Did you get that? Oh no, it's cold-blooded game. It's cold-blooded game. After she handled the business, assuming he lived through it, after she handled the business, assuming that he lives through it, next week at church, he might have bandages, he might not. He might have a cast, he might not. But he come limping his way down the aisle. He'll come limping his way down the damn aisle. You see, that was back when black folk had to handle their own business. That was back when black folk had to handle their own business. When black folk had to police themselves, brothers and sisters, that's called not just nation building, but nation maintenance. When black folk had to take care of themselves, you taught your daughters to take care of themselves. Today you got grown ass women, 30 and 40 years old, calling their 50 and 60 year old fathers to come change a tire for them. Don't know how to take care of themselves for nothing. Oh no, what I'm doing, I'm laying it down for you straight like that. I'm laying it down for you. You might be laying next to a snitch. Ladies, you might be not. Now, for any of the ladies who didn't like what I just said, by the way, you might be laying next to a snitch too. I'm just telling you, you might be laying next to a snitch too, as a matter of fact. You might be laying next to a dude who's up here telling your business to the chick he laying up with next door when you go to work. You might be laying up with a snitch too. Some of you chicks, your boyfriend, if you work at the job with him, And he's got a wandering eye. All it takes is a fresh pair of drawers to get him to start undermining you, to start abandoning his loyalty to you. It's a bunch of you chicks right now. Y'all done had niggas lay up. They done used up your credit. They done used up your tax return and laying up with some other chick, and she knows all your damn dirt. She knows all the damn dirt on you. I mean, it's bad enough he laying up with another chick, but now he got your name dirty in the streets while he's doing it? No, most of these niggas gossip like hoes. Most of these niggas gossip like hoes now. No, I'm giving y'all the business. No, you thought it was going to be some academic stuff. Get the hell out. I'm giving you the business. You sitting up here laying up with a dude who done put you dirty in the streets. While you still sitting there. Got you evicted while you still sitting there. You done sat up here and got evicted because y'all done had a falling out. You had a falling out, so he done went to the landlord and got you evicted. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about. You don't understand that. A lot of you females, y'all think just because you ain't gone to jail, he ain't no snitch. Okay. You think snitch culture is safe because you haven't committed a crime. You think it's acceptable because you ain't. There's a lot of females listening to me right now saying, damn, he's right. Damn, he's right. Think about the last three fellas y'all been with, ladies. Think about the last three fellas y'all been with. And you tell me, does another chick know something about you that was supposed to just stay between you and him? Did you lose money because of something he told somebody else? If you work at the job with him, did you get a promotion or lose a promotion or lose your damn job because of that? You see, if you let somebody know that if I lose something, you gonna lose more, that's an enforcement mechanism. And it's a bunch of y'all ain't been raised to let people know that you're the enforcement mechanism, but it also would help if you had a society that upholds that. There's a bunch of females listening to me right now. Y'all, you didn't like it when I said about Rihanna, but by the way, you sitting in the same damn boat. Let's just keep it all the way real. It's a bunch of black females out here. Y'all love swinging on dudes. And the only reason more of you are not in jail is because more of us ain't called the police. Let's just keep it real. There's a bunch of females listening to me right now that the only reason you ain't got a felony or that you've never been to prison is because the dude didn't call the police on you. Let's just keep it real. It's a bunch of you got mad, you slashed his tires, you busted out his car windows, and the only reason you ain't in jail right now is because he didn't snitch on you. The only reason you are not sitting with a felony on your record right now is because the dude you was laying up with was a stand-up dude and didn't call the police on you. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been there. Don't you know I could have been like Nikki Barnes and had a dozen hoes sitting up in jail? I've been there. And you all know full damn well. The chicks on. I don't. Show me somebody who will call the police and I'll show you somebody who will call the police for anything. I will show you somebody that you can't keep them quiet for nothing. Say what you want to. I'll show you somebody who you can't keep quiet for nothing. If dude beats the woman up, and whatever gonna happen next is gonna happen. When you live under those rules, you don't worry about what happens with your daughters. When you live under those rules. When you live under rules where you are accountable for your actions, then you don't sit up here talking silly. You see, I can't really trust somebody who tells me that they think the police are their friends. I can't really trust you. What am I going to trust you with? I live in a society that has criminalized literally everything I can do. Name for me one thing you can do as a black person that they can't criminalize. So I can't have somebody next to me who is the snitch in training. I can't have somebody next to me who is a obvious, clear and present danger. I can't do it. I can't do it. Because sooner or later, you're going to flip. Sooner or later, you're going to do it because you believe that that's leverage. Let's be very, very clear. You're going to flip on me at some point because you've been conditioned to believe that that's leverage. I don't want people around me who see victimizing or snitching at me out as leverage. And when it comes to your safety, you don't keep people around you who have the potential to do that. And you lead by example. You lead by example. You see, Oprah Winfrey, oh yes, I'm going there. This is probably going to be the most controversial program that I've ever done, but so be it. You remember Oprah Winfrey was the one sitting up here hollering at Rihanna about Chris Brown and blah-de, blah-de, blah. Oh, Rihanna, you need to do this, you need to do that. She was all sitting up here cheerleading, oh, put him in jail and this, that, and the other. And Oprah Winfrey been snitching on everybody. She is the most disloyal heifer you ever met. She has been protecting the man at every turn. Harvey Weinstein can do no wrong. Michael Jackson, a man who getting the interview with him made her damn career. And look what she did to Michael. Look what Oprah Winfrey did to Michael Jackson. Supposedly her friend, her buddy, for all them years, that industry she had with Michael Jackson made career. And look what she did to him. Look what she did to him after, but look what she did after he was dead. Look what she did after he was dead. She has sided with the dominant society against everyone else. You all still think snitching is harmless? You all still think snitching is harmless. I am not saying that if something bad happens that action shouldn't be taken. I am saying take a look at these situations. Take a look at these situations. You show me the people who are most sitting up here encouraging you to snitch, and I can show you a bunch of people who ain't quit snitching. That's not a joke. It's not a game. It's not something, that you play with. It's not something that you play with. And there's a whole bunch of people that we have set up here and tried to enable them and empower them to actually undermine us. That's the problem. So when you grow up thinking that that's okay, or if you adopt that as your motto, then that becomes a problem. You're correct in the chat room there. Imagine if you are dating someone and they tell you that that's their family's motto, is we don't call the police. Imagine if you're dating someone like that. Imagine if you're going to marry someone who tells you, oh, we don't call the police in my family. They tell you stories about there were issues and problems that happened, but none of the solutions, they got the problems handled, but none of the solutions involved calling the police. That lets you know who you can mess with and who you can't. When you live by something like that, a Tekashi 6ix9ine never could have been allowed in the room. He wouldn't have been allowed in the room because you haven't been conditioned to tolerate snitches. And if you did, you know there would be consequences for you. There are no old heads in these gangs anymore. They sent them to prison. They got them strung out on drugs. They got them killed. So there ain't no OGs left leading these things. There's nobody left who has the breadth of experience, who has enough institutional knowledge and institutional experience to tell these young cats how to avoid somebody like a Tekashi 6ix9ine. And understand something, all the Tekashi 6ix9ines ain't white. They're not all white Hispanics, by the way. There's a bunch of other Tekashi 6ix9ines and they're black. There's a bunch of others and they're black. But you don't have the old heads left anymore to sit up here and lead this thing from the top and to make it clear about who should be in and who shouldn't. You don't have that anymore. All you got are a bunch of old dudes. They are broke and broken. No, that's not true. You will listen when there are consequences. That is not true. They will listen. Young people will listen. But you've got to have credible people talking to them. Young people will listen. The existence of the Black Channel and what we've done here is absolute proof. Yeah, they will listen. Let's not do that. Yeah, they will listen. But right now, they don't see anybody with any credibility to listen to. That's the problem. They don't see anybody with any credibility to listen to. There's a reason why I don't hand out reading lists to people, because I don't see most of these so-called current. All my reading lists are from people who are decades old or decades dead, because I don't see any new people or contemporary people that I consider to be credible. So I don't tell you all to read their books. I don't tell you all to read the books of these so-called new scholars because I don't consider any of them credible. So these young dudes are not listening to people who they don't think are credible. They're not, that's the problem that we have. And so now they're trying to figure it out on the job training. So they go looking for movie stars and record stars and music stars. They go looking for them because they figure, well, they're famous. They must be credible. They're famous, so they must be credible. And that's what they end up doing. Nobody has given them wisdom. Nobody has taught them what to look for. Nobody has taught them the warning signs to look out for. Nobody has taught them what to look out for. But let's be very, very clear. The young folk out here today are just not listening to people who don't have credibility. You got a bunch of folk who are unaccomplished trying to sit up here and tell you, follow me. You look at organizations like InCobra. Take a look at organizations, if I dare call it that, like InCobra. InCobra has no credibility. That's why the young folk don't listen to them. They listen to us over here because we represent the streets. The NAACP has no credibility. The young people don't listen to them. They're over here listening to us in the black media because we represent the streets. They don't listen to CORE. They don't listen to the Urban League. They don't listen to Marc Morial because he has no credibility. They're over here listening to us to the point that presidential candidates are shook. Cory Booker is getting ready to end his campaign because he figured that he'd get white support to compensate for the black support that he didn't have because the black street told him what was going on. You don't have credibility. That's why the young folk ain't listening to you. Young people ain't gonna listen to a bunch of dudes who don't have any wins. They're looking for a winning coach who can coach them on how to win. There's a reason why a Freeway Rick can still get hundreds of thousands of views. Young people will listen because he's got credibility. There's a reason why Master P can get hundreds of thousands of views. Young people are listening to him because he's got credibility. There's a reason that a Big Meech can get people to listen. He's got credibility. Y'all are trying to get people who have no credibility to get an audience or to get respect in the eyes of the young people. These young dudes are out here getting took by jackasses like Tekashi 6ix9ine because they don't trust the elders. They don't trust the old cats who came before them. The ones who have credibility, they don't trust them. Oh, the ones who had credibility ain't there. And the old ones who are still left, they ain't got no credibility, so they don't trust them. They don't trust any of them. So these fellas out here on the streets trying to wing it and play it by ear because they don't have any older mentors to help instill the game in them. You took the words out of my mouth. What is a young up-and-coming black person going to learn from Roland Martin? What part of the game is a young up-and-coming black person going to learn from a Roland Martin? What part of the game is he going to give you? What part of the game is InCobra and Banana Big Bird gonna give you? What part of the game are those older guys gonna pass down to the young people? That's why you got these fellas out here sitting like that. Because they haven't had people of credibility that they believe. It's not because they're completely foolish. It's because they don't trust the old dudes. The ones who had credibility are in jail, dead, or broken. And the ones that they see, they don't trust these dudes. It's like, dude, you ain't credible. You're not credible. Take a look at John Lewis. John Lewis, you're not credible. You're not an elder. You're just an old nigga. James Clyburn. Maxine Waters, Barack Obama, Michael Eric Dyson. Those gray hairs didn't come with respect. Those gray hairs didn't come with battles won. Those gray hairs didn't come from that. They got no credibility with the young because the young people are looking to see if you're credible and they don't see anything that proves you are. So they would rather just wing it on their own than to waste time with somebody who clearly doesn't have a clue. That's the way it is in politics. That's the way it is in politics. That's the way it is in media. That's the way it is in business. And oh yeah, that's the way it is on the streets. On the streets, if you don't have credibility, they're not listening to you. And unfortunately, if they start making up on their own, they're going to look for who's got the most money or who looks like they have the most potential money. And so you bring in somebody like a Tekashi 6ix9ine. He says he wants to be down. And you're all telling yourselves you're going to get over on him. When in reality, he's walked in and said, man, I got the Trump card. It doesn't matter if y'all kidnap me. It doesn't matter if y'all shoot at me or whatever. At the end of the day, I've got a Trump card that is going to overrule anything and everything you're talking about. If we all go to court, if I start snitching, I can leverage that in white society against all of you. That's what it's going to be. If I need to get out of this, I can get my non-black privilege. I can call on my white Hispanic privilege and that will separate me from the rest of you. And I can leverage that and trade on that and get my, that's my get out of jail free card. I got a power and an ability that you simply don't have. You are not going to be able to do what I do. You're not going to be able to get away with what I get away with. And if things go down and the crap hits the fan, I will be able to trade and you will not. They're going to come to me first and ask, who do you want to sell out? They're not going to come to you first. Now, do you all understand something? Like with Tekashi 6ix9ine, usually what happens in these organizations, they try to go their way up and the guy at the top gets to flip on everybody at the bottom. Remember with Nikki Barnes and whatnot? They ain't allowing that to happen this time now, are they? You see, when it's time to put a white person in jail, or even if it's a white Hispanic, when it comes time to do that, they're not going to allow the higher ups because Tekashi wasn't no shot caller like that. The dudes who are the real gangsters in Treyway, they're not letting them do the Nikki Barnes thing and flip on everybody below them because they would be able to put him in prison at their word. They're making it very clear what the pecking order is. They're making it very clear what the pecking order is. You're correct in the chat room. Dudes, when they used to go to prison, they used to enforce that. Well, I told y'all about checking your people's paperwork. They used to do that. They used to check to see, have you ever been a snitch? Have you ever been in protective custody? We need to know that before we let you out here on the yard. Because when they got out of prison, they understood the rules that kept them safe and alive in prison really need to be enforced out here on the streets. That's how they kept themselves from going back to prison. The rules that protected you against the guards and the wardens in prison, those are the rules that will protect you if you go back, will protect you on the street to prevent you from going back. And we don't have anybody teaching those rules anymore. We don't have anybody who would have seen that Tekashi is a cornball. They would have smacked the snot out of these niggas for bringing him up in there. They would have said, y'all can rob him. Yeah, you can go rob him. You ain't going to bring him in the gang. No, y'all going to go rob him and roll this bastard. You going to tell him, yeah, go show us where all the money is and everything like that. And you can be in the gang. Just show us where all your money is so we know that you legit and you really got the bag like that. What some real gangsters would have done is they would have got him to show him where all his damn money is and they would have robbed his ass. You square ass, phony ass, cornball, corny ass, snitch in training. The only thing Tekashi 6ix9ine could have done with a group of real gangsters is get robbed. That's the only thing he could have done for them is to. A group of real gangsters wouldn't have sat up here and let you bring an obvious snitch who is gonna break because he's not about that life. They would have said, no, you cannot bring him back up in here. You cannot bring this corn dog up in here talking about he's gonna be part of the group. No, absolutely not. He is the food. He is not serving the meals. He is the food. He is the food and you're going to keep him on the plate. That's it. All you can do is take him to go show you where the bag is and that's it. And this idea that you're going to sit up here and make the food part of the damn system? No. No. So this is how I know that they didn't have any real dudes there. They didn't have anybody who even understood how to stay out of jail. You didn't even have anybody who knew how to, who understood how to stay out of jail. They didn't even know how to do that. You see, real gangsters ain't starstruck. Real street dudes ain't starstruck. Real street dudes are not starstruck. Young ass boys who don't know anything, they're starstruck. They're starstruck. Young ass boys are starstruck. Young ass boys sit up here, and as soon as they see a celebrity, you become the hoe. You see, dudes who are about that life, they don't become the hoe. They don't sit up here and look for the opportunity to become submissive or look for someone to submit to. Real dudes who are about that life, they're not sitting up here trying to figure out how they can be yo-ho. They're trying to figure out how they can pimp you. They're trying to figure out how they can get the upper hand. They're not trying to figure out how they can be yo-ho. They're not trying to figure out a way to be yo-ho. They're not doing that. They're trying to figure out how they can be on the come up. They're trying to figure out how they can be in charge of it. They're not trying to figure out how to be yo-ho. All the pimping goes one way. That's when you've been in the company of real dudes to understand that all the pimping goes one way. You got grown men out here who are sitting up here trying to figure out how to leverage their gang ties where they're supposed to have power. They own the seat of power, and yet they're trying to figure out how to whore it out. And let's be clear, we've had that since the old days. This ain't new. This is not new, people. Back in the days of Malcolm X, Malcolm talked about that. And other people did too, about how they... See, that's how pimps operate. real people from the street understand you can't afford to be starstruck. You can't afford to be starstruck to go from being in power to being somebody's groupie. They're taught to go from being in power to being the groupie to somebody else. And dudes from the street ain't trying to give up their power like that. Yeah, you got some goofy ones who don't belong with any power or credibility anyway, and that's why the young folk ain't listening to them. Dudes who are from the street and from that life, they're not impressed by stars. And they don't become groupies to stars either, because they understand you're not a part of their world. You're not a part of their world. And they understand that. And when you remember that, then you don't open yourself up to being infiltrated in that way in the first place. When you remember that. When you remember that. But if you forget it, then you're going to end up like this. So a lot of you have a jaded idea about what snitching is and what it means and what it's supposed to be. And there are a lot of people who don't understand why we have that to begin with. When you tell yourself it's okay to have these kind of folk around you, because a lot of you are living this life with them daily, just understand you are vulnerable. You are vulnerable. And sooner or later, it's going to find its way to catch up with you. Now you got a bunch of black dudes who are going to be going to prison because they let this white Hispanic dude who had no business even being on the block, much less being in the group, you let him in. And now you're going to prison, not just because he snitched. You're going to prison for felony stupid. You're going to prison for felony stupid. This is a hell of a way to find out that you were not streetwise. This is a hell of a way to find out that you were not streetwise. After all, maybe this will be a lesson to the others out there watching who think they can play this game with these wannabe celebrities. Maybe this will be a wake-up call to them that they need to start getting back on some real street culture and start observing some rules. Maybe it will. Who knows? If you have not been to our website, blackchannelfilms.com, that is blackchannelfilms.com, you definitely want to go there and check out our documentary work, 7 a.m., Gentrified, Ethnic Cleansing American Style, and our newest documentary, Race War, all of which are available on Amazon right now. You definitely want to go and check that out. It's going to be good for you to get caught up to what we do. If this is your first time listening to us, welcome to the Haven of Intelligent Black Thought. We are the Black Channel. We are the Black Media. We have over 81,000 subscribers right now. So our reach and our audience is growing by the week. These are very good progress that we're making, but we want you to be a part of that. So if you have not clicked the subscribe button, you definitely want to click that and also click the notification bell. This helps with YouTube's algorithm to the extent that it does, but also make sure that you stay in the know and are alerted when we are broadcasting and when you can tune in for our latest programs, where you get the insight and analysis that you simply get nowhere else. So make sure you click that red subscribe button, and then after that, you'll see the notification bell. Click on that so that you can stay up to date with what we do. 81,000 subscribers and rising. Be a part of that. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio program. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, my brothers and my sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.